We pray for blessings.
This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
In your life, are there times where you feel like you don't realize that things that are happening could actually be blessings? That song is so incredible. I'm just going to read the lyrics to you because I would say this is probably, just going into this show, I'm going to say this is probably the heaviest show I've ever had. And what I mean by that is it's very heartfelt. It's very emotional. And I can't even explain the emotions and the thoughts that are going through my heart right now regarding this time. You know, I'm going to get into that a little bit. But I just want to say that so many times on this show, I say that if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling down, you know, just go help somebody else. I know how many times I've said that. And for a lot of times, that can work. It does work. And I'm not going to say that it doesn't work, because it does. Sometimes we can just get down and we just need to get out of ourselves for a little while and see what we can do for someone else. And it just pulls us out. But then there's this other time when it's a long-term situation where it's not short-lived. It's long-term, where you're in a situation that maybe you didn't even choose. Maybe you're a long-term like caregiver. Maybe you're somebody that is suffering with something that's, you know, not a short-term illness. It's a long-term illness. You know, there's so many different scenarios here that I could go into. If that's you, I apologize. I'm just going to apologize to you, because knowing now and feeling now what I'm feeling is that that was insensitive without even intention. I was insensitive to you. So I apologize up front. And I just want to say that the Lord knows the burdens that you are holding and the feelings that you have, that sometimes you think, oh my gosh, I shouldn't even be thinking that. But he knows those, and he still loves you, and he knows what you're going through. And I just want you to know that he is there. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it, and you're going, God, why would you allow this to happen to me? Why would you put this extra stuff on me? Why? What did I do to deserve this? We don't have all those answers. I know I don't have those answers. But that's where the blessings come in. So I'm going to read the lyrics here on this song, because this song says so much. Are you ready? We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while, you hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy. What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? That song says so much. And all of us are hurting in some way or another. And maybe you're on a high, maybe you're on a low, I don't know. God does. But no matter where you are, God is there. And you might not feel him, but he is there. I have asked Roland to be on the show with me today, and Roland has been such a support to the Sue Free Show. He's been since the inception of the show. He was on my first show, and he's been there all along, very encouraging and supportive of this show and what it brings to the table. And today when I walked in, I was so heavily burdened that I almost just said I couldn't do the show today, because I didn't know how to bring what I'm feeling to words, and I didn't know how to decipher what God would want said, because the goal here is to touch each and every one of you and your heart, not your head, but your heart. And the goal today is hopefully that there's going to be a broader understanding to maybe someone that you know, a family member maybe. There might be somebody that you know and love even that is so lonely or feels so alone and needs to cry out for help but doesn't have the voice to say, I need help here. I need help. I want each and every one of you, if you're on the receiving end of this message, I want you to know that God wants you to speak out and let somebody know that you need help. And whether it's help for you or to help you help someone else, you still need help. So I'm going to encourage you right now to get the courage and the strength, wherever, from God, of course, to get the courage and the strength to say those words, to say, I need help. Can you do that? I hope so. So, Roland, I'm so thankful that you're on the show with me, because I just don't feel that I could have done this without you today.
Thanks, Sue. I'm at a loss for words, but yeah, you're definitely welcome.
When I was describing the dilemma or the thoughts that are going through my mind today, Roland could relate, personally. And that's when it touches the deepest, is when we can relate and we feel. And whether it's for us alone or it's for somebody that we know and love, because we feel for other people too, especially if we're sensitive and, you know, just sensitive people. Hopefully we all are. You know, it's difficult, but it touches home. In fact, the three people that I've talked about this situation with, they all said that they know somebody close to them, a family member, that was in a similar situation. It brings up so many things for me. For one, for me, there's a couple things, okay? I'm over 50. So I've recently been thinking about my burial or my cremation. And there's the question in itself, right? For those that you are going to be responsible for, making sure they're taken care of on, you know, when they pass. Do you know, have you asked that question? Because it's not a really comfortable conversation, is it?
No, it's not.
So, you know, do you know that, do they want to be buried? Do they want to be cremated? Do you know what they would like to have done? You know, do they want to have a celebration of life? What is it that they would want? My personal thing is I've got a Bible and I've got things written in there of songs that I'd like to have played. And Psalm 139 is the psalm that I want played at my funeral. I want to be cremated, not buried. I don't want to take up any more space on this earth after I'm gone, because, you know, it's just this vessel. It's really not me. And the reason I think this way is because both of my mom and dad and my stepfather have already gone on. And none of them needed long-term care. None of them needed someone to, you know, be there to make sure they were okay. No one, you know, I just didn't need to do that for them, because they died fairly quickly, or my father died from cancer, lung cancer, and he was in the hospital. And yes, I went and saw him 2 and 3 times a week. And the thing he wanted more than anything was root beer floats. That's the thing he wanted more than ever. And so I brought him root beer floats. So what? You know, I did. And my mom, she went into for heart issues, and she was going to have a triple bypass. And she went in to wheel into operation. She said, Susie, she grabbed my hand. She said, here's my rings. Take my rings. And she says, Susie, you know, this would be a good way for me to go. And I said, oh, Mom, don't talk like that. Come on, I'm going to see you when you get done. I'm going to see you when you're all better, when you get out of this. She never woke up, right? And so, and I stayed with her in the bedside. And the nurse said, you know, sometimes people hold on for those they're leaving behind. And so I finally had to say to my mother on a rainy day, I'll never forget the day, but I grabbed her hand and I just said, Mom, it's okay. You can go. Actually, I couldn't get the words "you can go" out. I just said, Mom, it's okay. I've got this. I'll take care of everybody. We all love you. And it's okay, Mom. We love you. And that evening she left and she went on to be with the Lord. Those are difficult things, but I didn't have to monitor, take care of long term. And, you know, recently my daughter just went in for knee surgery, Roland, and it's the first time my daughter had ever had a major injury of any kind. And she called me up and she said, Mom, will you mind taking care of me? She's 30 years old. She goes, Mom, do you mind taking care of me? And I said, are you kidding? I live for taking care of you, Tiana. And so it was like I was really looking forward to taking care of her, just like I used to do when she was little, to mother her and, you know, just take care of her. And it was a wonderful time for me. I felt so honored. But I knew it was for a very short period of time. I knew that I was going to have this special time with her, but I knew that she was going to get better. Right. And so, you know, even though I tell you it was five days of cooking, you know, up and down, 3 flights of stairs, I counted 36 times one day, and it was great exercise. But man, at the end of the night, I was so exhausted, and not only physically, but emotionally. And that was only 5 days of taking care of. So I'm talking to you out there that serving someone else, you know, when you're down, really doesn't cut it for you, does it? Because you're in it for the long term. This is a long-term commitment. And out of love and servanthood, you do it because. And I just respect, admire. I can't even put words in of how important that is. What it brings to me, though, is this whole area of need that I don't see very many ministries. And I look at ministries all the time. I have ministry on my show all the time. And by the way, this is the Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5. And thank you, San Diegans, and all the way up and down the coast for listening today to the Sue Free Show. I really appreciate that. And if you want to share this message, or any message for that matter, you can go on to Sue Free's, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Go on there, and there's Helping Hands, talks about who Christ says you are, not who people say you are. You can print those out and read them daily. Suggest you do that. And there's all kinds of videos and radio shows and podcasts and all those things on there. So go ahead and help yourself to all of that, because that's what this show is about. It's about helping you. My eyes have been opened, because just yesterday I spent just a few hours in the hospital with my family, and my mother-in-law had fallen and she broke her hip. And everybody is so worried. And I have to tell you, Mom, you're the best. The best of the best. And to have anything happen to you is terrible. It's just terrible. And you just said, well, this is number 4. She's had 2 cancer surgeries. She had a huge accident. And now she had this. And this was stupid. It was a stupid accident. This is her words. She tripped over her phone cord wearing slippers she was told to throw away weeks ago, and she didn't. And she tripped over the stupid phone cord, and there she went. And then she had to drag herself to the door because her door was locked. She knew her family was coming to get her, like in 5 minutes. How wonderful is God? 5 minutes, and there they were. And then the fire department came and took her to the hospital, and she has medical insurance, and she's taken care of to the fullest, and it's wonderful. But then she's going to get out of the hospital, and they said, you know, she might not even know your name. The doctor came out and said, you know, don't worry about it. She might not even know your name. She came out, and first thing she said was, "Hi, Susie." She knew my name right away, and I just was so blessed by that. She knew everybody's name. She was confusing names because she did that all the time. So we knew she was just back to square one there. It was just so cute. She was calling different names to different kids. Do you ever do that? I mean, it's just natural. But she was just so alive and vibrant and everything, and so aware, and it was so wonderful. And then the meds started to wear off, and you know, things happened then. But she's such a trooper. She's such a trooper, and, you know, she's my biggest fan on this show. She's always telling me, in fact, Mom, I listened carefully, didn't I? Because I put a different song on for you today, didn't I? I put the Blessings song on because she said, you know that song you were playing? She goes, I don't understand all the words until you get to the one part, you know? And so I said, well, Mom, I'm going to do something about that. Because you said that, I'm going to do something about it. So I did, Mom. And, you know, I just pray for a quick healing for you. She said she's going to be up and walking in 3 days. And I believe she will. She's going to get up. She's going to get on that walker. And believe me, I know what that walker's about. And I'll tell you, your walker's your best friend. It really, truly is your best friend for quite a while. But it's so good. She's going to get up today. She's going to get up. She's going to walk. And it's going to be great. She's going to heal. She's going to get better, get back up and at 'em. But still, she's 84 years old. And there's a lot of 84 and older people out there right now, loved ones. And my thought is that how much help, if you have a primary caretaker, if you have somebody that's taking care of you most of the time, if not all the time, do they get a break? Is there a break time for them to get rest? Do they get a break, you know? And it's not something where you can just walk away from, nor would you want to. The people that are put in positions like this, it's an honor, it's a privilege, but it's tiring. I did it for 5 days, and I can tell you, it's tiring. It doesn't mean you don't want to do it. It doesn't mean you don't love someone. It's just, you know, what does it say? When you get too tired, it makes cowards of us all. Exhaustion, I don't know what the term is, but there's something like that, where in war even, they say that military, that when they get to the point of exhaustion, it causes us each to become cowards. And it's just because you just get to the point where you can't function. And even Jesus had to go away and get rest, didn't he? So we all need rest time. We need time to just get away and have something to laugh about. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, okay, are we asking for help? Are we spreading the wealth? Are we letting this burden be light by more people taking more action to be part of this puzzle instead of having most of the burden on one, maybe one person? And my thought is there a ministry out there for this? In my recollection, I can't think of one that's for this. You know, yeah, there's assisted living, but that's very expensive, isn't it? So in this situation, I mean, maybe there's a ministry for this. I don't know, but maybe if there isn't, another terminology I say or a statement I'll make is, you know, find a need and fill it. Well, maybe this is a new ministry that can be birthed from this show. Or if somebody knows of this ministry already, please contact me at SueFreeze.com and let me know about this ministry. Because, you know, because of the way we eat and whatnot, we're living a lot longer than we used to, right? And we want to live long and healthy lives. That's what we desire. So I don't know. I don't know if that's heavy for you, but it's heavy for me. It's heavy for me because there's so much in there. And then there comes a time where, you know, if so much time and attention is put in this purpose, do we have something to look forward to? Is there something else that we can do? What do we do with all of this? There's so much going on there. And how much can a person take? You know, have you reached that point where you're going, God, I know you think I can take on more because you're giving me more, but I can't. I can't take any more. I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. Lord, I need your help. Please bring people to help me. Show me how. Show me. I'm trusting you. I'm having faith in you that you're going to show me. There's a prayer that comes to mind that Roland actually found for me, and I'm going to read it. Psalm 55. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. It continues on. That was 1 through 8 on Psalm 55. I'm going to keep reading, starting at 16. It says, as for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days.
Wow, Sue, that psalm speaks volumes, because no matter where we're at, we're overwhelmed at times. And you know what? We like David, just say, you know what, Lord, just take us away. Just take us away from this, because you know what? We're done. And sometimes, and maybe for some of you there that are listening, it's not just like getting away, like going to a hotel and getting a vacation or a getaway. You're sadly contemplating to end your life and just saying, you know what, Lord, my life is over at this point. There's nothing more for me to do. And the only word I have for you right now is that, you know what? God's not done with you yet. He's far from done with you. Lean heavily upon him and know that he will carry you through this.
That's really good. And that's what he says. And we have to believe that his word is his word and that he's going to be faithful to what he says. I'm going to read out of Jesus Calling, and as usual, it goes right along with what we're talking about. So here you go. I love you for who you are. Did you hear that? I love you for who you are, not for what you do. Many voices vie for control of your mind, especially when you sit in silence. You must learn to discern what is my voice and what is not. Ask my spirit to give you this discernment. Many of my children run around in circles trying to obey the various voices directing their lives. This results in fragmented, frustrating patterns of living. Do not fall into this trap. Walk closely with me each moment, listening for my directives and enjoying my companionship. Refuse to let other voices tie you up in knots. My sheep know my voice and follow me wherever I lead. Scripture, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner, and some of you might feel like a prisoner, you might feel that you didn't choose this, but this is where you are. And you might feel like, you know, even though you know this is where you are and you feel good about what you're doing, you're tired. And you don't see a way to get relief. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. John 10, 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice.
There's a lot of voices we hear in a day, Sue. I mean, we are battling the voices of our employees, the voices in our heads. And you know what? It's hard to hear God's voice at times when there's so much distraction going on. And we need to find that time, that place to get away. For me, it's when I'm driving to work because I'm not distracted. I know that sounds weird, but I'm actually not distracted. I'm more focused. And while I'm driving to work, I really hear God's voice. There was one time I heard God just tell me plainly, he's like, remember that they matter. because I was just really frustrated with a friend of mine. And he just said, remember that they matter to me.
That's good.
Yeah.
And we all matter. We all matter. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You know, the thing that stood out in that is the voices from other people. It's mm-hmm. like because we're in the situation and we're worried about all the other people and how they're going to feel and everything. And we're sitting here and it makes us more isolated and more alone because we're fearful of thoughts of other people or what's going to be said. And the point is that what does God say? He says to speak in truth. Speak in truth and love, right? So if we speak in truth and love and have healthy boundaries, which is something a lot of dysfunctional families do not have, even in the workplace, we have dysfunction in the workplace because we don't have healthy boundaries and we're not honest. We're not telling the truth. We're not saying what we're feeling for fear of abandonment, fear of somebody not agreeing with us. Fear of recourse, you know, something coming back at us, well, right?
We get stuck in trying to please
everyone.
Yeah, and we never will, unfortunately.
No. So we have to be true to ourselves. You know, you always have to bring your issues to God. And then once you feel that you're pretty confident and you feel right inside of your spirit, it's very important you take that next step in truth and speak and say, I need help. You know, this is how I'm feeling right now. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show, and I know this is a heavy show, but we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
So we're back from a brief break of Ecola Termite Pest Management Services here to serve you. And Learning to Breathe is here to serve you also because that book is about asthma. 1 out of 8 children die of asthma. Isn't that terrible facts? It's just crazy, and it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. So if you know anybody that has asthma, you could get them this book, and it would help because there's a lot of information in there along with the journey of my son and I. Just there's a lot in that book. It's amazing. And I'm now working on, and I'm going to put this out here now. This is the first time I've said this out loud, but I'm working on book number two. So by saying that now, I'm going to be held accountable.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. Ah, so yes, the book number two is coming. I am working on it. I started working on it when I went to Alaska. It was just the most beautiful setting, and I sat down and I said, wow, and I just started writing. And I haven't looked at that right since I wrote that, so I'm amazed. I'm going to be amazed to go back and look at that. But now, let's get back to the show. Roland, at the break, you told me that you had a question for me, and I'm really nervous about your question.
You know, here's my question. What do you provide or what do you do for the person that is completely just burnt out? I mean, they've been providing care, or they've been helping, they've been serving, and now they're just spent.
What do you do? That is a really good question. And I would bet asking them, they probably would not give you a clear-cut answer. They would say nothing. Mm-hmm. Or they would say, I just need someone to listen to me. Have you ever tried just to listen when you are a fixer, a problem solver? You know, it's like, it's really difficult. But sometimes all we need to do is just be there to be an ear and listen. Men, we have problems. You know, men have problems doing that. You know, I've heard that in marriage. You know, it's like women, you have to say up front, okay, I just want you to listen. I don't want you to fix it. Roland's over there cracking up right now. Why is that, Roland?
Because it's true.
It is so true. I learned that a long time ago. It's like, you know, you start all thing. I just need to talk right now. I just need you to listen. I don't want you to fix it, because you go into fix it mode and you don't really hear.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really important that you know, but women, you have to do your part and say, I just want you to listen. So sometimes in these situations, that's all that someone would want you to do is listen. And for those fix it and solve it problem solver people, it's very difficult to just sit there and listen. But sometimes that's all we need to do. But on the other note, there might be something more you could do. What could you do? You know, it's like, you know, babysitting, you know, babysitting for children. There's a lot of babysitting ministries for children.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But when people get older, I've had people call me. I had this lady who was married for 60 years and her husband went to see the Lord, to be with the Lord. And now she's going, what do I do now? And all my friends are leaving me. And you know, it's just a lonely world out there. So we can take care of the funeral arrangements ahead of time and not leave that for our children to take care of. And how much is enough for that? You know, I went through that with my family, and the funeral homes can create a huge guilt. And so, you know, being prudent on that and spending $1,000 versus $15,000, a pine box versus whatever, again, saying cremation versus burial, you know, all those things are important, and it's good to know that up front. Anything you can do to save money there, because that money, you might need that right now. You might need it for right now to take care of something. So just be prudent with what you have.
Yeah. I remember probably about several years ago, my mom had to go in for a surgery, which the doctors had said would may be life-threatening or life-ending, which I had just gotten back from college. Not exactly the most wonderful thing to hear from the doctor.
No, not at all, huh?
And I had to have that tough talk with my mom asking, okay, where is the lockbox that has the paperwork for this? What are your arrangements? How would you like to be buried? And that, I'll put it like this. I'm gauging on 40 now, and I'm glad 10 years ago I had to have that conversation. I mean, we all have to face that conversation with our parents at some point in time. And I feel better prepared for it now. And yeah, my mom's got to go through some other surgeries coming up very soon.
Mm.
And that's hard. They're not as life-threatening, but again, it's surgery number 10 for
wow.
her. And that's hard.
Because yes, it is.
That's my mom.
Yeah, that's your mom. And you love your mom.
Yeah, and you only get one mom.
That's right. You only get one mom.
Yeah.
That's so true. Actually, I have two moms.
Ah.
Yeah, because my mom-in-law is my mom number two.
Oh,
and she
right.
reminds me of that quite often, that, you know, it's okay, Sue, that your mom's not here, because now I told your mom that I would be your mom, and she has been. She's been a wonderful woman to me, and I just love her so much. She's such a godly woman, and she's funny. Oh, my gosh, she's so funny. She cracks me up all the time. She's just hilarious. She doesn't even know she's so funny, but she's so funny.
Wow.
But she's so good. You know, she's just a good woman, you know, and she loves her kids and loves her grandkids. And she's just a wonderful woman.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really great.
Well, with so many questions are in my head right now, so you have no idea. And the thing is that for you listeners out there, again, you're just tuned in, you're listening to the Sue Free Show on 99.5 KKLA. And again, she's got a wonderful website that's Sue Free's, spelt like fries, oneword.com. She's got wonderful things on there, such as the Helping Hands section, which I actually have printed many things out and actually have at my desk here at work as well as at home.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And they are great ministry tools for you. And they help deepen your relationship with God. I just wanted to share this with you, Sue. I was looking at Psalm 40, and Psalm 40 is just a wonderful thing. It just says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a new firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise for my God.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know what people are going through right now, but I know that that is for somebody right now.
Yes.
And I mean, God is hearing your cry and saying, okay, you're saying to yourself, okay, Lord, you hear me? And he's hearing you. I know, and it sounds like it's falling on deaf ears. I know that's the thought that we have.
That's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like. And that is a lie from the devil. That is nowhere near the truth.
Yeah.
And just hear what Sue and I are sharing with you. It's that, you know what? God hears your cry, and he's bringing you through it.
And I will give you rest just came to mind.
Yeah.
And I will give you rest.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I stopped you.
No, it's okay. It's just that he's gonna hold you, and he's continuing to hold you in his arms to bring you through this. In Scripture, Paul was asking for God to remove the pain from him, and God said no. And I know some people, but why would God do that? Because God is building you up for something greater, and I don't know what that is.
We were talking about that, is that, you know, if you are someone that is got the responsibility of long-term care, taking care of somebody, and then what happens next, you know, and I talk about this regularly about, you know, our goals and our purpose. I have this big piece of paper here with purpose of life. Why were you born? We all hope that our lives have meaning, though most are still searching for the purpose of life. What does God intend for us? And I was reading this, and I just looked to Roland and I said, do you think you can have more than one purpose? And he's like, yeah, I think you can. And I said, it's kind of like assignments, right? And he goes, well, yeah. So, you know, if you are in a situation where you're in something, and maybe you didn't choose it, but you're there anyway, okay, and you're doing the best you can do because you're doing it for God, right? Because that's what he tells us to do. And so after that, you know, when that assignment is over, or that purpose is fulfilled, one reason or another way, whatever way it happens, then there's another assignment. And so maybe we need to be looking at, okay, what have I learned? You know, what have I gone through? And what can I do to transfer these skills or learned experiences? What can I transfer to the next assignment? And I wonder what God has for me next.
Yeah.
There's something in that. You know, it's like the goals. You know, you set goals, you reach your goals, then you have to have another goal.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a purpose or assignment. And what's the next assignment for you? What is it? Can we be thinking about it now so that we are prepared, we're preparing for that next assignment? And everything that we've learned to this point has prepared us for that next assignment. And there's something exciting about that.
Yeah.
And because we don't know, we don't have all the answers. We don't understand when, we don't know how, we don't have all the who, what, where, when, whys. We don't have all that.
Mm-hmm.
All we know is that God is saying, I created you, and I created you for a purpose.
Right.
Right? And this purpose, you are the special one. And I know it might not feel like it right now, but you are the special one that I have chosen. And what's next? You're going to be surprised. And who knows? Oh, my goodness. You know, I feel sorry for, I heard this, that there was a gentleman and he lost his job and then his wife left him and he got up on top of this bridge and he jumped. And right after he jumped, well, of course he died because he jumped from far and he ended his life and he was a young guy. And whether you're young or old doesn't really matter, because there was a whole future in front of him, and he had no idea because he gave up and jumped.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting to see what God had next. And it's such, it's so sorry. I'm so sorry for that. It just hurts inside to think of that.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying earlier from Jesus calling. It's that you hear these voices that are conflicting you day by day. And I could say, sadly, that those voices in his head won out. That still small voice of God got drowned out by the noise of the hurts.
Mm-hmm. I opened up my Bible, and in one of the covers here, I write things when I'm in church, and I write things that come up, and I'm thinking, oh, that's good. So I write it down, and this is years and years and years of writing down things, you know? And right here in this second page, it says, 7 steps to healing. Number 1, truth. And some of us never even reach it to that. We never get to the truth. We never really expose the truth. Number 2 is needs that went unmet. We all have them, but do we write them down? You know, did we never get married? Did we never get children? Did we never get that job, that promotion that we wanted? You know, it could have been so many needs that were unmet. Number 3 is how do I feel about what happened? How do I feel about it? Number 4, separate earthly people hurts from Heavenly Father promises.
Mm.
Isn't that good? Number 5, forgive. If anybody has transgressed against you, you need to forgive them. And also, bigger one, you need to forgive yourself.
That's a hard one.
It is a hard one. And sometimes we never get there. There's people that I know that go through many, many years and they just don't forgive. So they're beating themselves up. But God's forgiven them, but they don't forgive them. And they keep themselves in this prison inside their head. Mm-hmm. Number 6, ask God to fill those places. Wherever there is empty spaces inside of you that are needs unmet, any of those things, ask God to fill those places. And number 7, support from others. And isn't that what I was talking about? The very beginning, opening of the show. I'm talking about asking for help. Support from others. Don't expect people to be mind readers. And it could be so blatant and right in front of them and they still don't see it. I get it. But you still have to ask for help. Because maybe they think you're just strong enough and you can handle it. Maybe they just don't realize how much it takes to do what needs to get done. Maybe they just don't get it. So enlighten them. Open their eyes. Be truthful. Be loving. Be kind. You know, but you have to state your case. You have to let people know that you need help. Right?
Yeah. And that's another challenge for people because My thought is that the people that don't ask for help have been so accustomed to doing it on their own, to ask for help, it almost seems like it's beneath them to do it. I mean, why would they want to ask for help? They've been doing it fine, but as we can see, and as we may have learned over time, we get burnt out, we get exhausted, and then we're stuck. And then what?
I just want to say a quick prayer. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. Holy Spirit, lead these children in all truth. So when the lies and deception come to them, they will be aware. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just needed to say that because I think that that's part of this, is that, you know, there's deception out there, there's isolation. Those are all things that the devil wants to have happen because he can separate us from God. And God wants us to be close to him. And all these things coming at us, we don't have the answers. That's the thing. We don't understand why. But what part of this can you do something about? Is there something that you could do that could help the situation? Sometimes there's not. But sometimes there is. Maybe we don't know what that is.
Right.
You know? And sometimes people can be right around you and not even understand what it is you're going through. And it's your responsibility to let them know. Nobody else's, it's yours. Okay? So you need to get a voice, get some courage, and you need to speak your heart in truth and love and let people know how you're feeling, what you're thinking. Because you know what? Out of that truth, there comes a better understanding all the way around. And with that, comes less dysfunction. We can grow together. We can get closer in our relationships because everybody has this inside their heart that they want to serve. I think God put it there for us, is to serve one another. So we need to look for opportunities, but they could be right under our nose and not even know. We just don't get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It also brings healing, because there's some healing and relief that comes from sharing. And we're not saying that you need to tell everyone about it.
Oh, no.
But you need to have, I'd say, as it says, and I think it's 2 Kings, there are, David had his mighty men, and those mighty men, it was just three. But you need those mighty people in your life where you can just say, you know what, this is where I'm at. And you can be completely transparent and completely real with them. And they're okay with that. Sue, with the remaining minute we have left, what would you like to leave the listeners with? We've said a lot.
We have said a lot, and it's been emotionally charged because it's a reality check. It really is. And I just, again, want to refresh everyone on the sense that I apologize if sometimes on the show you feel that I'm insensitive, because I'm not. I'm very sensitive. It's just sometimes, and this is an eye-opener for me and maybe to some of you, is that sometimes we think that we're on the right path, and we think that we're being encouraging and inspirational. And at times, there can be a pain or a person situation that maybe doesn't come to mind. And so it could be different than what we're thinking. And so it's just good to always be aware as much as you can. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to always be with me, and then someone corrects me on something. And the thing with me is that I want to be vulnerable and transparent, which means that I'm not perfect. I'm not a theologian. I'm not. I'm a person who's just going through life, walking through life like you, and it's a journey. And I'm hoping and striving that I am better today than I was yesterday. And so if I could leave you with anything, I would say that let's all be vulnerable. Let's all be transparent. Let's all be more truthful in what we're feeling, what we're thinking, and let's be honest and kind and speak what we're thinking and what we're feeling with concern. We have to be thinking about that, to those that it matters to. Talk about things that matter with people who care. And if there's somebody that needs help, be more aware of those around you. And until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day. God bless.
You've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by E. coli, Termite, and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli, Termite, and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.